We continue to read through the Gospel of Luke and hear some of these wonderful, wonderful stories. The story today is a pivotal sort of story in the life of Jesus. He's been baptized. He's not yet started his ministry. And this is sort of a moment of clarification or a moment of focus about how he will be a teacher, a preacher, a deliverer, a Messiah. So it's a pivotal passage. Hear the reading. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw down yourself from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, open us to your Spirit, to your way, that we might trust you and find life. In Jesus' name, amen. This last summer, I took Claire, our 16-year-old, to get her driver's license. Some of you who have 16-year-olds and have been through that told me, said, "Oh, don't go to downtown to Madison County. Go over to Decatur." They said it'll be a lot easier, a lot quicker, easier to do. So we got up early one morning. We said, we're going to get there early. We're going to be at the head of the line. We're going to be sure. So we left in time to be there more than an hour ahead of the opening. So we drove up in front of the courthouse there in Decatur, and I make the turn, and there's this line snaking out of the building, you know. So I tell Claire, "Jump out quick, get in line, I'll go park." So she does. And I get back over there to the line, and, you know, there are people that have been there while it was still dark to get in line to get their license. And, you know, this little camaraderie, this little community develops of people waiting online. People begin to talk. The woman who is number one in line with her daughter sort of tells everybody who's willing to listen how this is the fifth time they have come up here for her daughter to get her license. And I'm thinking, poor child, mama is telling all these people here. You just feel so sorry for the daughter. I think mama must have been teaching her to drive is what I'm thinking. But anyway, and she tells them, you know, she missed it the first time because of this, and the second time because of this, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. And then they began, there's other people that are there for the second or third time in line, and they begin to spot the different inspectors, the people that give the test as they come in. They'll say, somebody will go in and this kind of murmur will go through the crowd, and they'll say, "You don't want to get him. He's awful." And then this woman officer walks by and everybody's, hey, hey, hey. They say, you want to get her. You want to get her if you can. And so we wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And the line gets longer. And they come out and tell these people behind, said, there's no way you're going to get in today. So we finally get up there and they open up the office and you go in and you have to sign in. And we're like 22 on the list, you know, getting there more than an hour ahead. We're 22. And so we go back out front to wait, kind of on the benches, and they come out and call your name and take you on the actual road test. And we notice that if your road test only lasts about 4 or 5 minutes, if you don't get any further than that and they bring you back, you're not going to get your license that day. And when the inspectors would come back, the test givers, they would then talk to the student with the parents and they'd say, now here's what you need to work on. You know, you need to work on, I actually heard him say this, I promise, green means go. I'm not making that up. Don't hesitate. When it turns green, you can look both ways, but then go. Okay, we'll work on that. Well, Claire's turn finally came after a while, so she got out and got in the car. And she was gone 5 minutes and 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, this is good. 15 minutes. I'm thinking, this is real good. But then it gets about 20 minutes. I'm thinking, oh, man, are they stopped somewhere and he is calling in reinforcements? Or, I don't know. But they come back and I see him pull in, you know, and she pulls in the parking place and she gets out. And all the way across the parking lot, she gets out. And I said, and I can see her going, I got it. So he comes back up and he says, she did pretty good. He said, there were some things you need to work on some more. And he said, Claire, there's one thing I want you to promise me. He says, if you come back over to this county and drive in this city, will you call me before and tell me so I can get off the road? We laugh. You know, it's a rite of passage. It's a time of testing that you have to pass through to get to the next stage of your life. Jesus had this time of testing. He goes to the wilderness for his testing. That is appropriate because if you read in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus and Chronicles, the people of Israel were tested in the wilderness. Wilderness in the Old Testament, in the New Testament too, is a place of testing and trial. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel had for 400 years belonged to Pharaoh. They were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. Moses, empowered by God, brings them out. And now the test is, you've lived for 400 years as being property owned by Pharaoh. Can you learn to live owned by God? And that's what that 40 years of testing is about in the wilderness. And Jesus only has 40 days. 40, you're supposed to think of that 40 years when you hear it's 40 here. And the tempter. The tempter, the devil here, we have the wrong idea. He is not this mean, mean, mean guy with horns and the pitchfork and all that. The devil is smooth. In fact, he is usually not frightening. He's not frightening. He's smooth. He's sly. He's crafty. He's clever. Notice that the temptations he offers to Jesus are not to do something mean. He doesn't say, Jesus, why don't you go out there and kill somebody? He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, Jesus, why don't you go out there and steal something, burn up? That's not how he tempts Jesus. Much more sophisticated and sly. The first test that Jesus has, well, let's just call it a taste test. If maybe you've been walking in the mall and got a little booth set up. So would you come, compare and they give you the samples of the different, kinds of Powerade or whatever, and which one you like? Taste test. Well, the first one is around bread. Devil says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. What's wrong with that? Jesus has been not eating for 40 days. Nothing wrong with eating bread. And later on in the story, Jesus will do all kind of things with bread. He'll go break bread with crooks like Nicodemus, Zacchaeus. He'll go break bread at the house of Simon the leper. He will share bread with people out in the wilderness. He'll share bread, a loaf of bread at the Last Supper. Jesus is going to do a lot of things with bread. So what's the test? What's the temptation? The temptation has to do with the fact that in the Old Testament, you don't make bread. You receive bread. Now somebody literally baked it. You know, they put the yeast and the flour and they make it a thing and they built a little fire and they put it in the oven. Somebody does make it, but theologically and in your heart of hearts, you know you don't make bread. You receive bread. You receive bread. Let me imagine that we could do a video, and we're going to run this video backwards, and we're going to run it at high speed. Instead of fast forward, we're going to run it fast backwards. And this video begins with you holding a piece of bread in your hand. And so in this video, you know, then it goes back in the package because we're going backwards. And then you're seen walking backwards, you know, to your car, and your car's going backwards to the grocery store where you got the bread. And then this backwards video, going fast now, we see somebody, we see you putting the bread back on the shelf, and we see the bread man that comes to the store taking the bread off because he originally put it back on. But this video, going fast backwards, is showing us the history of that bread. And we see that bread then being delivered on a truck to the store. And then we see it going backwards to the bakery. And we see it coming out of the oven. And then we see it being mixed. And then going back further, we see wheat come into the factory, the bakery. And then we go backwards and we see a mill where this wheat was ground to make it into flour. And then we go back that and we see a farmer harvesting the grain. And we go back there and we see the stalks of grain just coming up. And we see a farmer cultivating. And we go back some more and we see a farmer in an empty field planting the seed. And then we go back and we really, really fast backward. And we go back about 200 years and we see somebody for the first time ever breaking up some soil, pulling up stumps. And then we go back some more and we see about a million years worth of vegetation growing, dying, decaying. And we see the topsoil being built up. Over tens of thousands of years, that layer of topsoil. And we go back even further and we see rocks being melted down by the rains over thousands of years and the minerals. And we see, then we see darkness. And we hear this voice. And this voice says, "Let there be." And we trace that piece of bread all the way back to that moment when God said, "Let there be," and God began to create. And God made a world that could grow bread and provide it. And we see that at every step of the way, it's been a gift all the way back. And that piece of bread we've got, it's a gift that's origins started when God said, "Let there be light." And so the devil comes to Jesus. He says, "Command these stones to become bread." Jesus was in the wilderness. And he remembered the people of Israel who were in the wilderness 40 years. And they knew that bread was the gift because every morning it was manna that God provided. And Jesus understands that every piece of bread from now on is manna because every piece of bread is a gift. And so Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, you shall not live by bread alone. What Luke doesn't do here is report the last part of the verse, because that verse goes, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus understands it's all a gift from God. Jesus' first test, and our first test, is, are we going to approach life from a state of profound gratitude? Are we going to understand that everything we are, everything we have, is a profound gift? It is all gift. It's all gift. We don't make bread, we receive bread. I guess the next test is a citizenship test. If you had the good luck to pick parents who were already American, you were born a citizen of this country. But there's a lot of people who, along the way, they become citizens of this country by a lengthy, diligent process. They have to study the Constitution and memorize the Bill of Rights, and they have to learn about all kind of aspects of our government and our history. In fact, some people have done some tests, man on the street, woman on the street interviews, and they've discovered that people who are recent immigrants who have gone through the process of becoming citizens, they know more about American history and government than most of us who were here all along. But at some point along the way, they take a pledge of allegiance to this nation. What Satan does for Jesus, he takes him up on a high hill and he shows him all the kingdoms of the earth. He says he shows him all the kingdoms. I guess he shows him, said, now there, and I assume he can go back and forward in time. He says, this is the kingdom of Egypt. That was the Pharaoh. He said, then this is the kingdom this is the kingdom of the Hittites. That's what the Hittites did. Now here, oh, this is the kingdom of the Persians. That's what they did. Here's the kingdom of Alexander the Great. It extended all the way to India. Here's the kingdom of the Romans, the empire, Roman Empire. And then I guess he went forward some and said, now here's the kingdom of Spain and Portugal in the 1600s. 1600 years from now. And then maybe he went on and said, this is the kingdom of the British Empire, 1900 years from now. And this is the kingdom, the empire, the extent of the United States of America, 2000 years from now. He showed him all of those kingdoms. He said, which one do you want? I give you any of them. They've been given to me. How do you want it? Isn't it interesting? Because Jesus, he said, you can have any of these if you just, by the way, just kneel down and, little thing, worship me. And Jesus won't do it. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God, Him alone. It's the first commandment. Jesus learned it from Mary and Joseph in the hometown synagogue. You don't put any kingdom ahead of God. It's a citizenship test. It's a test of to what human organization of life, whether it's the way the Romans did it or the Greeks did it or the British or the Americans, where's your first loyalty going to be? Where's your first citizenship going to be? Jesus is going to spend much of his ministry talking about the kingdom of God. And he's going to invite people to have their first citizenship. Yeah, you'll be citizens of different places. But greater than your citizenship in any community is your citizenship in God's kingdom. And so Jesus said, you put God first. He refuses to substitute any human organization or any human party or human way of organizing life with God. He's not going to worship that. Well, the next temptation, I guess, or the next test is a stress test. I know of two kinds of stress tests. If you're in construction, One of the kind of stress tests you have to do is if you're pouring concrete or concrete footings, you get those little cardboard cylinders and you have to put a certain amount of the concrete in there and you level it off and you let it get hard, and then they take it into a laboratory and they cure it and they squeeze it to see, if it was the right mix of gravel and sand and cement. That's one kind of stress test. How much pressure can you take? And there's another kind. Some of you I had once, and that's where they hook you up to all the electrodes and they put you on the walking track, the treadmill, and they try to see if they can create a little pain, maybe. They hope they don't get that far. But it's the stress. It's real interesting in this temptation, this testing. The devil learns to use Scripture. Did you notice that? Not everybody who uses Scripture is a good guy. No, you need to learn that. People use Scripture for all kinds of reasons. The devil twice now has been refuted by Jesus. Jesus quotes him a Bible verse, and Satan's thinking, I better get me some Bible verses here. And so he does. He goes over to the Psalm and he gets that verse about, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off of the top of the temple. That's where this takes place. And then the devil thinks, I got a Scripture for you. He says, because it is written, Jesus has said, it's written. And the devil said, it's written now. It's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. He says, jump off of this and God's going to take care of you. I think the test, the temptation, is the temptation to believe that if we are God's child, God's son, in this case, God's son or God's daughter in our case, that somehow we will be immune from suffering. The temptation is jump off this temple top because you're God's son. You will be immune from injury or suffering. Jesus says, don't test God. Isn't it interesting? To be God's child does not mean to be immunized from suffering. We live in a world in which if we live long enough, we're going to have something unfair happen to us. We're going to have some injustice done to us. We're going to have a wound, a hurt. And Jesus, later in the story, will be one who knows a lot about wounding. I was interested in discovering, I just made the connection that two of the great religious teachers of the world had stories about mustard seeds. You may remember the story about Jesus and the mustard seed. Jesus took a little tiny mustard seed and he said, if you got this much faith, you can move mountains. Did you know that Buddha had a mustard seed story? Yeah. This woman came to Buddha who had lost a child and was in deep, deep pain and grief. And she said, how can I get over my grief? And he said, bring me a handful of mustard seeds. And she said, well, I can do that. He said, oh. He said, but you've got to gather the mustard seeds one at a time. And each one has to come from a house where nobody has lost somebody. Where nobody has lost a father, a brother, a sister, a child, or a friend to death. He said, if you go find me a handful of mustard seeds from houses that have never had that happen, I can take care of your suffering. Well, of course, she comes back and she didn't have any. And so Buddha said, well, this proves to you that suffering, that the cause of suffering is love. And so the way out of it is to be detached. And so Buddhism will teach you how to be detached, to not cling too much to your life or to other people. That is not the way of Jesus. That is not the way of Jesus. That is not Jesus' answer to suffering. Jesus said, The way out of suffering is really not a way out of it. It's a way through it. It's a way through it. And what Jesus does is said, it was Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then, in Jerusalem now for this tempting and testing, will later be in Jerusalem for a crucifying. Simon Peter and all the others tell Jesus, you're not going to suffer, you're not going to suffer, you're God's man, you're not going to suffer. And that's where Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. That's where he calls Simon Peter Satan, because he's saying, you're not going to suffer. And Jesus never said to us that being God's people means you're immunized from suffering. No. What he says is, God's grace is sufficient to get you through it. And what happens is there is one Jesus who goes through suffering, and rather than inflict suffering on somebody else by bringing down a host of angels to slaughter somebody or to use some violence to fix the violence done to him, he forgives and he clings to God. Father, into thy hands I commend all I got. And it gets him through to new life. It gets him through. Well, it's about being a child of God. The last test, you didn't know there was a fourth test, did you? You might have missed it. The fourth test is one... Well, the fourth test, you'll be surprised to know, is a paternity test. Yeah. It's a test to determine who's your parent, who's your father. Two times, the devil says to Jesus, it's one word, if. Verse 3 and verse 9. If you're the Son of God. Jesus has just been baptized the chapters before. He's been baptized. This voice, heaven opens up. This voice from God comes and says, you are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased. Jesus has heard God loves him completely, totally. He belongs to God. And then in the very next story, Satan is saying, if you're God's Son, he's trying to plant that little seed that maybe you're not. Maybe God didn't mean that when he baptized you. Maybe God didn't mean that. Maybe God is not for you. Yeah, the fourth test is this paternity test. Will you trust that God is your Father? Will you trust that you are a child of God? A son, a daughter of God. That's our test. You know, the biggest test we will face in life is not the SAT or the ACT or a civil service exam or any of those professional exams for certification that we're going to have to take in our field of work. The tests are more profound, and they have to do with who we trust and who we belong to. You remember some of you remember a movie, City Slickers, you know, Billy Crystal. It's been a while now. It's these middle-aged guys having kind of these mini sort of middle-aged crisis. They live in the city and they decide to go out west, you know, and they're going to be, dude ranch. They're going to help with rounding up and driving cattle to market. These guys don't know anything about it. And so, you know, it's just comedy. And of course, they meet along the way Curly. This crusty old Jack Palance played him, grizzled cowpoke. And they keep talking about, you know, what's the meaning of life? And he said, it's about one thing. It's about one thing. And it really is about one thing. It's about this one thing. Who are you? Whose are you? I have many friends that said that when they were teenagers and they would be leaving the house, that their mom or their dad or their grandmother had a way of sending them out. I never experienced this, but somewhere along the way, the grandparents' parents learned, and they would say to their kid as they were leaving, "Remember who you are." And that was their way of saying, you know, that was, and my friends would say, yeah, I know, don't give in to peer pressure, be smart, don't let other people make me do stupid things. We parents get kind of antsy, even though the state gives you that piece of plastic that says you are licensed to operate a vehicle. We got lots of other issues. And so my friend's parents summed it up, remember who you are. Not bad advice. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Whose you are. Well, it's a story about being tested and about the faithfulness of God through all we will face. And may God bless us as we go. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you that you give us daily bread. It's a gift. We praise you that you claimed us before we claimed you. And we give thanks that you never give up on us, that you're with us through all, even suffering and difficulty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is a good day to be together. And it's especially a good day for us because we have several folks who come to officially become part of this church. Michael Hayes and Monica Thrash are going to become members today. And I invite them to come up as we sing and let us stand as we join in a final piece of music, can't we? Would y'all come on up? I'm going to welcome them first, and then we'll sing. All right, that's how we'll do it. We welcome you to this church. You've already been in and around here. You know a lot of these folks. You're already involved in places. They're engaged to be married, by the way. And people around here, and I will tell you how important faith is in marriage and how it is important individually in our lives. Our hope is that this church will be a place where you're served, where your things happen that grow your spirits. And you're nurtured, you're served, you're encouraged, you're helped, all those good things that churches do. We also hope this church will be a place that challenges you to find your place to serve, because we also know that we keep growing in the faith as we find that ministry that God has called us to. Monica comes already a member of the church. Michael comes to make a profession of faith. I'm going to ask both of you questions. You can both answer these. Do you wish to continue to be a follower of Jesus? Do you wish to grow in your faith, that it all your life will become deeper and richer, and you will understand more about what it means to follow this one who loves you? Do you? You want to be a part of this family of faith who's trying to do all that? Well, may God bless you as you do these things. And let's pray. Lord, bless Monica and Michael. Give them the courage and strength to keep these promises and vows they make, and all the others they will make in their days together. Help us to support them, to encourage them, to grow along with them, that we will all become disciples of Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. After we sing, I'm going to invite you to kind of come back up here, and so people shake hands, introduce themselves to you, the ones that hadn't. Would you stand as we sing together? God bless. Our God is indeed awesome. awesome in that He's powerful and that He is tender and compassionate. Who but our God? And so go into the world in peace, beloved people, sons, daughters, children of God. Go into the world in peace, love the Lord, serve Him, render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another as God has loved you. Go in the name of God. We love His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.